Time now to dance. And we have the perfect song.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack!
Love Shack by the B-52s. That's Fred Schneider, Kate Pearson, Cindy Wilson, and Keith Strickland. The new wave band from Athens, Georgia, has been rolling nonstop since 1977 through the good, the bad, the funky, and the weird. But the B-52s are putting on the brakes. A couple of months ago, Fred, Kate, and Cindy spoke with Scott Simon about being on the road for their farewell tour.
Well, it's the last tour, but it doesn't mean we're not going to do shows anymore. We're not going to tour anymore, really. Well, we say that, but we're not going to do like an Elton John or Cher thing where we keep touring and say we're not.
I keep calling it the Cherwell tour because, you know, never say never, but being on the road is wearing, but playing the shows is great.
So yeah, we'll do shows.
We'll do
more shows, especially like festivals and big outdoor
fireworks,
places, state fairs, bar mitzvahs.
Kate does it for the fireworks.
You're not ruling out much. I mean,
well, I think what he's trying to say is long tours and being away from home for a long time is hard.
I wonder if you can bring us back a bit. I mean, a lot of people have wondered what was in the water of Athens, Georgia, in the mid to late 70s.
Fluoride.
All right. But I mean, you know, B-52, REM.
Well, there was nothing to do, so
we were the first sort of new wavy punk band, so we had to make our own fun, and we just one night had a flaming volcano at Hunan's Chinese restaurant, and we didn't have money for food. We had six straws, actually, because our friend Owen Scott was with us, and we started jamming in Owen's basement after the flaming volcano, and magic was in the air. But we used to party and crash parties.
Ruin parties.
Oh, well, you know, it was Athens that had a really great vibe. You know, you didn't need a lot of money, which is why a lot of people ended up staying, you know, once they visited.
Rents were like $60 a month.
My rent was $15 a month. I had sort of the original Love Shack out in the country. It was set way back in the middle of a field. It was funky.
It didn't have a bathroom, though.
We don't need to hear everything you understand, but that's all right. All right, Fred Schneider.
Yes.
I think I speak for a lot of people when I ask.
Are you crazy?
Well, maybe. All right. Why Rock Lobster and not Rockfish?
We were at a party. And here love fell in the day. Someone reached in and grabbed it. What Rock Lobster?
Well, I went to this place in Atlanta called the 2001 Disco, and they had slides of puppies, babies, and lobsters on a grill, and I thought, Rock Lobster, and that's the way I think. So I came back and jammed on it, and the way we work is we jam and
throw all the inspiration.
Yeah,
but Fred was a poet.
We do things differently. There's no one leader or anything like that. Everyone really shares, and you could see that on stage because we all work together.
We write. The process of writing is by jamming, and then we collage things together.
Kate and Cindy had never sung together before, and all of a sudden, they blended like no other.
Like butter.
People, yeah, like Fleischmann's margarine.
Motion in the ocean.
On this tour, I'm told you're playing Is That You, Modine?
Yes.
Waiting for bus number 99. Going to the store for hot dogs and wine.
Oh, you should tell that story, Fred.
Oh.
About what we used to do.
Well, we used to, if Ricky broke a string, I was sort of like, all of a sudden.
This is Ricky Wilson, your brother, Cindy.
I was the front man.
You told the jokes.
I would get the audience to, it was Maureen Dean, John Dean's wife, and she was called Mo Dean. So I thought, that's a good name for someone from outer space. And so I would have the audience go, is that you, Mo Dean? And I'd go, it's me, Mo Dean.
Is that you, Mo Dean? It's me,
go back and forth till Ricky
fixed his guitar.
And then I just go, thank you. Or I'd say, are there any questions? And then I just make up questions because I couldn't hear what the audience was saying and answer them. And
well, we had another imaginary entity, and it was Bronda.
Yeah, when things would go wrong, Bronda did it.
Oh, like the imaginary friend who lost his things up?
The imaginary nemesis.
Cindy.
Yes, darling.
I hope you don't mind. May I ask you about your brother, Ricky?
Oh, you know, yes, he was very special. Of course, we all miss him very dearly, and it was like an atom bomb when Ricky passed, of course. And
he died, I guess, in 1985, right?
Yes, he did, you know, and it was terrible. It was just the worst thing, you know, personally, a lot of death and destruction was going on, and it was all very new and early in the whole set of AIDS.
You were even afraid to say you were gay back then a lot of times because the response was, you know, you get beaten up in places sometimes.
Yeah.
I think everybody went into a deep depression. And eventually I sorted it out within myself that I'm going to always have Ricky and, you know, he's always going to be with me.
Yeah. He had such a unique playing style that he sort of had a rhythmic part on some of the lower strings, and then he'd have a melodic part on the top strings, and he was just like such a, and he would just be on fire when he played on stage. That's why he broke so many strings, because he was just dynamic, and
yeah, the intensity.
He used the guitar, it was almost like a gun, you know,
it was complete
firing.
Concentration.
It must winch a little to think that he, well, just to lose him personally and to think he didn't see so much of your success. Although I guess he has seen it, hasn't he?
We conjured a lot of his spirit, I think, when we did Cosmic Thing. We thought that was the end kind of our band when Ricky died, but we came back together. Keith started writing some music, and we started getting back together and jamming.
You know, Keith was in a big depression, and the way he got through it is writing music. And we didn't know, you know, with Warner Brothers, if we were going to do another record. And then he approached us and said, well, do you want to try, you know? And so we went to a studio and just played around to see how it could do it. And it felt like Ricky was in the studio.
It did.
And it became obvious that it was a healing process for us all.
And the music, making music.
Making music together. Yeah. And then when it started getting radio play, you know, that was affirmation. Roll if you want to, roll around the world. Roll if you want to,
without wings, without wheels. What do you see when you look out at today's audiences? What do you notice about them?
They're still dancing no matter what age they are. I mean, some people sit down, I don't know why. But most people stand and dance the whole hour and 15 minutes we're on.
And I notice a lot of young people, and it seems much more lately, and I think it's because of the internet and YouTube and all the people posting stuff, that there are all these young kids there now, and some little kids really dancing too, but
it's glad
to have a much younger audience.
Fred sang Twinkle, Twinkle Little Star.
To a four-year-old. Well, we all did.
It was very cute.
It was very cute.
Yeah, she was tiny. I forgot kids are that tiny.
You forgot.
Well, like, they're kids, really. I mean,
they grow.
That tiny.
Sometimes they grow.
Fred Schneider and Kate Pearson and Cindy Wilson of the B-52s. I want to thank you all for being with us and for so much good music. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
That conversation was first broadcast on October 15th. The B-52s wrap up their farewell tour next month in, where else? The place where it all started, Athens, Georgia.